Hey everybody, it's the Trout. You know, as I get older, I tend to, well, I forget things. But there's some things that, you know, stick with us as even as we get older. And things like, who was our favorite teacher in school? Mine happened to be my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Yancey. I bet you're thinking about who your favorite teacher is right now. So teachers have a huge impact, not just when we're in school, but afterwards, when we're gone away from school for decades later. So today I interview the CEO of a great organization that helps students and educators across America. It's called Give a Note. And Beth Slusher is the CEO of this organization. You probably aren't aware of this, but a lot of students don't have the opportunity to be on a musical program because they can't afford the instruments or their schools just don't have the programs anymore. But things have changed dramatically since I was a kid. You know, you either played, you know, saxophone or clarinet or flute, and if you couldn't play anything, you were the guys in the back with the percussion. Remember those days? Well, that's changed now. Kids don't necessarily want to do that anymore. They want to be able to rap, they want to do hip hop, they want to be able to know how to record, even on their simple programs as their phone. Well, Give a Note helps those innovative educators be able to promise those kids an opportunity to get into music. And you know, music is important because kids that study music and become musicians are more likely to become better students in all their studies as they go forward. I like Give a Note, and I think you'll like Give a Note with their opportunity to help kids and their message. And that message is next on KT and the Trout.
KT and the Trout Show!
Let me just talk about Give a Note, your organization. And I read the history on your website. Hasn't been around that long. Started in 2011. Is that correct about
correct.
That time?
Yep. Okay. 2011.
With the grant. All right. Were you there at the beginning? You were the founder? Were you the one that kind of started the whole thing up?
Oh, heavens no.
Okay.
Given Up was founded with the $1 million investment from 21st Century Fox and Ryan Murphy from the television show Glee.
He was the creator
of the television show Glee. And he wanted to do something in celebration of, as the show was coming upon its ending. And he wanted to do something to give back to music education because it had been an impactful thing for him when he was growing up in Indiana. And participating in music and realizing that not every program and not every kid gets equal, equitable opportunity right. to participate in music like he did.
Right.
And so we were founded in cooperation with a very large organization called the National Association for Music Education. And we were founded in order to create a movement to create awareness for music education, the importance of music education.
And that's in schools, right? Elementary
Correct.
And high schools? Okay.
K through 12.
K through 12. And so then you came on board a few years later as the executive director, CEO. When did you start with?
I actually came on board as part of the founding board.
Okay.
So
that's where
the
I probably
executives
that.
At NAFME pulled together eight of us to be part of the founding board. And I was originally vice chair of the board of directors. And then about a year after that became board chair and continued as board chair until July of 2018, at which point the current board appointed me CEO of the organization. And that was an opportunity for us to move forward with our mission to really support innovation in music education. So the foundation, and I apologize, I'm not being very articulate at this moment.
Don't worry about it.
So the organization in July of 2018 had an opportunity to move forward independently from NAFME. Mm. And in doing so, it allowed us to focus more directly on the niche of innovative music educators in the classroom and supporting their efforts to get more kids engaged in music education in school.
So have you seen, I was just talking to someone else about this other day about the lack of pulling stuff out of schools. Now my grandkids are the ones that went through playing the instruments. One of them's 18 and the other one's 15. So the one at 15, he goes, nah, don't want to do it. The other one was in the band, big band, 600 kids or something, ridiculous amount of kids in the band. But have you seen a decline? I mean, there's things that money is are moving away from in the education field. Do you see a decline in this too, as far as music education? Or are they still, I mean, you deal with schools all over the United States. That's why I ask.
Correct.
Because you might get a little touch of what is happening all over.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, it's really interesting because it varies all over the country. Okay. So the pandemic created, you know, a situation that was very difficult for an already difficult situation. So music education is not equitable. There are over 5 million kids that do not have access to quality music education programs in school. Mm. And those are primarily in schools in marginalized communities.
Right. I figured that, yeah.
And lower socioeconomic communities. So, you know, that disparity was already there. And when the pandemic hit, unfortunately, the disparity in those communities got even
worse.
Larger.
Yeah.
It got even worse. You know, so many schools were forced to cancel their music education programs. We have a teacher in Oregon that, you know, the school completely dismantled his band program. You know, they couldn't see any way for him to teach music and to teach band remotely. So they just dismantled it. Fortunately, they didn't terminate him. So he used technology and his perseverance and dedication to his students to come up with a different means of teaching. So he got thrown into a communications cycle. So every 9 weeks or 12 weeks, they rotated subjects and he was teaching a subject. So he chose to teach audio recording and sound creation and music composition, and use the technology tools that were available out there to help him do so. And actually discovered a passion for teaching music technology and realized that it engaged kids in learning music that had never participated in music before.
Yep.
So now as you transition out of the pandemic and back to in-person learning, he's focusing his efforts on music technology now. His band program is back up and running again, but you know, it's just very interesting because, you know, many teachers lost their jobs.
Right.
Many teachers got just completely disillusioned. You know, when you're trying to teach remotely, whether it's math, science, English, or music, you know, you're dealing with kids of all different ages that feel comfortable or don't feel comfortable using a screen, or they don't have the remote access to log into the classroom.
Yeah, that's true.
So music education has always been challenged because, unfortunately, it doesn't get the respect that some of the other subjects do. And
in Texas, you know which one that is. Football. As I always joke, we build a stadium, then go, hey, I think we have to put a school around it. Oh, that's right. So,
yeah. Well, Texas also has a very vibrant band and orchestra and choir programs in their music education, so we can't beat up on Texas too much.
No, I'm not beating up on it. It's just kind of a standard joke. And then of course we have now the big thing is here indoor facilities, because we can't have them out in the heat of summer. That's just the way it is. But
yeah,
let me go back to what you said a while ago. The gentleman you were talking about that's teaching music technology, where is he located?
In Oregon.
Yeah. Oregon. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
just
you know
outside
the thing,
of Portland.
What's really cool about that is. And I've had this ad nauseum discussion about how music industry has changed so much from when I first started playing so many decades ago. But now you can sit at home and do things. Now, is it the same quality as a studio? Nah, not really, but it's pretty darn close, especially with people that want to do beats and do stuff like that. And that's where it changed. And I could see that because, you know, I was thinking about what you were talking about where people are having trouble. I don't know, a lot of schools, were they providing instruments or was everybody, because when I grew up, you had to go out and buy or rent your instrument. So I assume
yeah,
if the school is providing
the
them, is it still the same way? Well, a lot of these kids probably can't afford
it. Every school does it differently. It depends on how the school is funded.
Right.
But a lot of the students in a band program will either rent the instruments or purchase them,
right.
Depending. And some schools own the instruments and then, you know, loan them out to the students for the school year. So it's just, it's very different all over. But, you know, GivenOat's focus is really on innovation and tech. That's how we're carving our niche as an organization in this space. You know, as I'm sure you know, there are lots of nonprofits out there that are supporting music education. And it's important that every child have the opportunity to learn music in school. And you have organizations that are donating instruments and helping build band programs. That's fantastic, much needed. The cost of a band program is, you know, astronomical. Yeah. And so, you know, these programs need the assistance of nonprofits and fundraising in order to, you know, effectively deliver their quality band program for their students. But there are a lot of students that are being left behind because they may not be interested in the typical traditional band, choir, or orchestra. So guitar programs, sound recording, gaming technology, and learning how to write music for gaming technology. There's just a lot of other opportunities for kids, hip hop, rap, you know, just the art of expression through music is so vitally important for kids. And as we know, because the statistics stand behind it, music instruction at an early age builds cognitive skills. And not only does it build cognitive skills, it improves literacy. So it enhances the math, science, and other subjects. And so every child needs to be exposed to it and have that opportunity. And unfortunately, you know, that's not the landscape of what we have in our educational system. So, you know, GivenOat is very focused on providing opportunities for all children through innovation and tech, because those means engage kids that might not typically be enrolled in music education programs. So it gives them opportunities of the benefits of learning music by having those programs available.
Well, and it is true, because since, you know, now you can do this and record on it and, and go to websites and do Bandcamp or whatever they want to use to do that.
Right.
And because when I grew up, it was, I've been a guitar player since I was 12, and marching band, not unless your cord is like 500 feet long, it's not, and I could plug in my amplifier, but, you know, and then it was like, do you want to play saxophone? You want to, it's a traditional way of doing things. And you're, I'm sure, 100% right that people are then passed over because they go, I don't want to play flute, clarinet, but fill in the blank, or French horn, which are, I know how difficult they are. I don't know. I've just been told, which I believe anybody tells me that. But now with this and the technology, and they're so in the technology, and I you were talking about gaming, the gentleman I interviewed over in the Ukraine, that's what he does. He writes music for games.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I never really thought about that. And so there's much more to it. And it is true. I've read, and of course, being a lead guitar player, I always want to say this, because lead guitar players, we have a lot of notes to play that just come out of our heads. So it gives you cognitive skills. So I don't completely think I'm losing my mind. So it's like, you know, so, but it does give you that skill set. And also, if you're in a band, I don't care if it's a band, high school band, a three-piece band, whatever band you're in, it's a group of collective people doing what they want to do. And that's where, in my opinion, the leadership skills come out, because everybody has to
absolutely
have everybody has to have a leader. And I used to love,
and it's not just leadership, it's collaboration, you know, to learn how to work with others. And,
Good point. To
collectively, as you say, put something together that is meaningful. And, you know, that equates into the workforce. You know, employers want and do hire people who've been exposed to music, you know, who've had musical training. Yeah. You know, they love those employees, because those employees tend to have all the right skills to be successful in the work environment. You know, I know that from my own personal experience as an entrepreneur and a business owner for many years, you know, that you know, my employees were exposed to music even in the workplace. So it enhances life in so many ways.
And in what you are doing now, how many, and I saw some of the statistics on the website, but you've touched a lot of people in this short time. And I say short time because, 10, 20, 12, whatever years, 10, 11, 12 years. What's your goals? I mean, obviously now you've got the kind of got the pandemic back behind you a little bit. What's your goals to go forward? I mean, if you could wave a wand and money was no end, situation, what would you end up doing? What would you do with this organization if you had all the money in the world?
Oh gosh, if money were no option, our vision is pretty clear. We want to empower educators in order to impact student lives.
Okay.
So by identifying and empowering the music educator, they need to be lifted up. They need to be recognized for the work that they do, and incentivized to stay in the workplace and to continue what they do. It is not easy to be a music educator. Many times they have 70 to 100 kids in a classroom. What other subject do we ask our educators to do that and to manage that many children at one time? So, and they're just incredible mentors and human beings. And so they need to be lifted up and recognized for the work that they do. And in our case, recognizing as innovative music educators who are going beyond their traditional program to reach out and grab more children and more students to bring into those programs that benefit from learning music. We want to support those teachers financially and with professional development in order to retain them as educators and to show them that they are valued for what they do. And when we can do that, then we're impacting students, because if those educators feel good about the work that they do and supported, then they're going to educate and impact more students and through learning music in school.
So you're kind of teaching the teacher is really what you're doing. I mean, in a way, I mean, the teacher's there, which they're going to be creative if they're a musician, even if they don't know how to jam in an A flat, they still know how to read music, which is mathematical, obviously, to a certain degree. But they are then your advocates to get more people because they didn't go into music because they disliked it. They went into music because they wanted to do it. And it doesn't matter, as like I said earlier, it doesn't matter what genre or what you play. And I say this to everybody who comes on here as musicians, is we're all in the club. You and I are all in the same club. And that
That's right.
is the music club. And it doesn't matter whether you're a vocalist or a guitarist or a horn player. It doesn't matter. We can all sit around and talk about music. And I've been fortunate, and I continue to get people across the world that we talk about it on a bigger stage, because reality is we'd all get along better if we could all just play music, because we'd all focus on playing instead of doing that. But the other part of it is too, I think what you're saying is it's a skill set that some people don't know they have. And I was reading your, once again, I was reading your website and read some stuff about it, and I can't remember the person's name that's made a comment on your site about. She was, somebody said to her, you need to go into music or you need to study music. And she said, I wasn't even planning on doing that really until somebody said, and I got involved in it. And it's one of those things. I think sometimes people are touched by it. I was touched when I was 5 years old. I was told, you're going to be a music person. And I've loved music ever since. And people sometimes they go, why do you? And I miss out on the history. That's why I love history about music, because people don't study it too much. But the other thing to me is the fact that you are touching so many lives at a different level, and then offering different things that, see, I didn't know they were doing. Because see, I can see where more people can do digital recording or becoming that, and maybe they don't. They're not a creator, but they know how. They love to listen to music and. Maybe they want to be an engineer. Maybe they want to produce. That's not going to ever change. There's always going to have people like that.
And Rick, that's another point to why innovative music educators and supporting innovation in music education is so vitally important, because programs like music biz programs engage kids who love music and want to be part of the music business, but they might not necessarily have the talent to be a professional musician, nor do they want to be, but they want to be around it. They want to be part of it. And they have other skill sets that they can contribute to the music industry that is so important. So we have actually in San Antonio, one of our first Music Education Innovator Award grantees is a high school teacher at East High School in San Antonio, Texas. And he started a music biz program for that very reason.
Tell them what that means when they start a music business program, a biz program.
Well, in a music business program, you know, they learn a lot of things. They do still learn music composition and songwriting, but they learn the backside of, you know, what it takes to get a band out there, how to manage a band, how to, you know, how to schedule the venues, how to handle the financial side of a band. You know, they learn payroll services. They, you know, they learn the whole business.
It's a business
side. Right. You know, right. The promotions, the marketing, everything, the brand, you know, focusing on the brand identity of the artist, et cetera. So, you know, and they have to put together festivals, you know, they learn how to work for festivals and create a music fest, which is a very large thing, endeavor to take on. So there's so much that they learn, but they're also, I think there might be a misconception out there that a music biz program they're not learning music. They are. That is a part of a music biz program. It's not all of it, but it is a part of it. So they're getting music instruction as well as, you know, learning to love certain types of music, you know? So, yeah.
Well, I think the thing about it is you become, and I tell young people this all the time, if they want to talk to me about producing or whatever, I always tell them it's not the music business. It's the business of music. Because if you don't make money off of you, they're not going to support. It's just the way it is.
Right.
And you're 100% right. I tell other people too, if you love the business, but you don't have the talent, there's so many other things you can do.
That's right.
And you can be the person.
And there's so much value to being around a music department and a music educator and other fellow students who are learning and creating music. And, you know, you learn to empathize with how hard and how difficult music is. It's not easy to be, you know, we look from the outside and we go, oh, this artist is fantastic. It came to him naturally. Well, yes, there may be an element of natural talent there, but you have to develop that talent and you have to hone that talent.
Yep.
And it takes an extreme amount of dedication, perseverance, and discipline to get through that learning process, whether you're formally educated in music or not. There's not a single artist out there that just goes out and picks up the guitar or the microphone or the saxophone or whatever it is and just starts to play and that's all it is. There's so much more that goes into that.
Well, and you know, I watch still after 20 years, I still watch American Idol just to see the new talent come up. And my wife and I told her, I said, you know what's great about watching this? It's watching the people, because they have natural talent already. They already have the talent there.
Right.
And it's pretty Americana. I live in a town that has three people, and you know, and you go and start singing. But the time that they start out until the time they get to the live shows, you can see the ability of being around people and professional people, and they get better and they get better. And I always tell her, my wife, I said, you know, you're better off to start a little bit lower. If you're already really good, you don't have a lot of room to go. I mean, you're at the top of the game. It's always the ones that are just a little bit here and then they go up. And so it's the same way with what you're talking about is they learn how to become better. But the other part of this I think about is not collaboration, is something that we talk about in this country a lot, is when you're in a band no color. Nobody cares what color you are. They don't care what religion they are. They don't care about your income. They just go, can you play that C note for me? That's fine. You know, no, we're not going to do that chord change. Whatever it is, we're all in together. And that part is what I think is really, you know, really cool about the whole thing, is people don't care. And
music is a welcoming entity. I mean, you know, music provides a safe space for everyone to be exactly who they want to be and who they are. And, you know, the diversity element of music is wonderful because it allows you to be male, female, binary, non-binary, whatever.
Doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
It doesn't matter. Or the color of your skin doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But where we do miss the boat in diversity is in the face of our music educators. So our music education system, there is definitely a disparity there in the educational force. 72 some odd percent of our music educators are white. So, you know, there's, and I'm not going to be exact on these numbers, right, but it's less than 30% of all music educators are of color. So whether
but, you know, that
it's
could
African
change.
American, Hispanic, Asian, you know, we need to do more to enable everyone to go through that track to become music educators. And, you know, again, that's partly because many of our schools in minority settings do not have access to music education. So they don't have the training that's necessary, right, to get them to the point to become a music educator. We need to do better with that.
Well, and the other thing is, if you look at the history of music education in America, it's basically all the same. It's been, you know, here's a horn section, that's it, you know, play that. And if you can't play, we'll give you some drums back here to play percussion because you'll be part of it. My goodness. Why is there 20 people back there to play drums? Oh, never mind. You know, but they're still part of it. But now that you mentioned the other stuff that's going on with the digital recording and all that, that brings a new light on it that normally maybe
it does.
Maybe the diversification could change, because at first they're going like, I don't want to play this music they're playing. Okay. I don't want to play Inagata DeVita on a marching field again. All right. I want to play, I don't care about that, but I want to learn something. That probably will help change it a lot. But the other part that has to change is the school districts themselves, because they're not real quick to make changes either. They're very conservative in everything they do. And if you walk in and say, hey, I want to teach our kids how to record hip hop on a DAW, they're going to go, what's hip hop and why do I care about what's a DAW? But if I said, we want to play the school motto, you know, song type on this weekend football game, okay, that's cool. That's another thing that's going to have to change. And but I think that you'll probably see that as you continue on your journey here, because the fact that that's going to make a difference, and you guys will help make that difference in your organization.
And that's our goal. You know, we are already seeing that. When we launched our Music Education Innovators Award in 2018, a very specific goal for us as an organization in doing that was to identify the teachers who are using creative strategies in music education, and then help other music educators replicate those kinds of programs in their schools. And that's the next phase that we're into now with a new program that we're launching in June called Music Tech Empowers. And, you know, that we're using mentors from our music education innovators in order to mentor these other schools and educators to start new programs. And it's about getting the educators excited about what they can do and the students that they can reach, because that's where their passion is with their students.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, there are administrators and superintendents, and the educational landscape, as you said, needs to change, and it will change. I think it absolutely will change, because they can see the value in this. We have a grantee from Denver who was in a CTE high school, and he was a physics teacher. Mm-hmm. And he recognized that his students needed some creative outlet, you know, because it was a school that had no music educator, because it was a CTE, which is career technology engineering. So it was
right.
a STEM school.
Yeah, STEM.
Right. And they were creating career pathways through STEM programming. So anyway, he said to his principal, can I set up a soundboard? He was a music aficionado, you know, he loved to play guitar. He loved to play keyboards. He loved sound. So he got his permission from his principal to set up a soundboard and a mic, and brought in a keyboard and a guitar. And, you know, if the kids during lunch wanted to come over and jam with him, they did. So what started out as a few kids jamming with him during lunch turned into a full-fledged career pathway for audio production. And he went from being a physics teacher to a full-time music teacher in this school.
And you
so
think
there's opportunity out there for
districts
to
think about
add that.
The dichotomy of his personality. Because exactly. One thing is, and as if you're around creative people, and I as one, we can be strange. And if you're in a school district, they don't like strange. So, right. So you take a physics teacher who's all, you know, it's this way, it's black or white. You go on the creative side, it's not that way at all. It changes, your mind works differently. So creative people, and that's the other thing I think is difficult for people to wrap their head around, is when you're around creative people, and I've met some that are a little whacked out, but they're really good.
Is, you know, what's interesting though, Rick, is we, the creatives of this world, are what drive innovation.
Oh, absolutely.
So the creatives, not just from the music side, just the creatives in general.
Yep.
You know, and fostering a creative mind opens up a world of opportunity for us in a plethora of different vocations, you know, from technology, from social media to engineering, science. I mean, it really, we need the creatives to think creatively so that we can innovate and become a better world.
That are involved in musicians all the time. And to see what you're doing really touches me, because the fact that I just like to see more people being creative, because that's when I get to listen to them and go, wow, that's, I never thought about doing that song that way. Or look at how they changed that song, or they wrote this right. song, you know, and it just gives you that, because every generation has a different look at different things. You know, yeah. I couldn't write the songs that I hear on the stuff now, because it's like somebody listened to my last album and goes, it sounds like you're a little older. And I go, I am. I can't write like I'm a 20-year-old, because I'm not 20, but I want to hear what the 20-year-olds have to say, and what you're doing with the educators and all that. And let me ask you the question about the one that won the award this year from San Antonio. What separated that person from everybody else? What was the thing that said, you guys said, this is the person that should win this award? What was it, a man or woman?
It was a man. Okay. Actually, he was one of our first, and in our first round in 2018, we've honored 29 educators nationwide so far with the award. And, you know, each one of them stood out for different reasons, but I think the commonality in all of them was their tenacity at pushing to implement something that was different in their school mm-hmm. as a means to engage more students in learning music. You know, they are so passionate about the benefits of music instruction for their students. And they knew that, you know, they all recognized that they needed to reach the students where they are. And there were, you know, there were different ways in each school to do that. You know, in mariachi programs, you know, we had a band director that had a vibrant band program, but, you know, a lot of his students were not participating in band. And he looked at the demographics, the culturally relevant music program that he needed to add was mariachi. And I forget what the statistic is, but I'm sure it was more than 50% of the students in his mariachi program had never participated in band.
Wow.
But that attracted them. It was relevant to who they are. And, you know, it made them feel safe to participate in that music program. So, you know, whether it's Music Biz or mariachi or audio production or song composition, or we have an Ethiopian song project out of Maryland. I mean, I could go on and on about all these programs, but really the driving force behind all of these educators was, I need to go beyond the traditional in order to engage more students in my program. And by doing that, they opened up a world of opportunity to thousands of students. And that's where our heart is, and that's where our focus is. It's also where our vision is. You know, we know that by empowering these educators, we will impact student lives. And that's what matters.
You know, the other part of it too is the sense of accomplishment.
Yeah,
because that's something that you can't really bottle it up. I mean, once you start doing something and everybody comes together doing something, there's a sense of accomplishment. Yeah, you make great. Oh, look, I got 100% or an A on my math paper, but it's not the same. I mean, you know, I worked hard at it, but when you work with a bunch of people and you end up doing stuff like that, there's a sense of accomplishment. And
the other common thread I will share with you, Rick, from the educator's perspective is, you know, all of these educators that we have honored have said to us that the mere recognition from us meant so much to them because it said to their peers, their other educators in their schools, I'm valued. I'm doing something of worth. And not only from their peers, but also from their administration. Their community is proud of them for what they've accomplished by achieving this award. And that's really special. You know, that says a lot that we need to do more for our educators, not just music educators, but across the board. We need to do more to honor our educators and you know, tell them how much we appreciate what they do.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I think that's something that we all think about. Of course, as you get older, like me, I don't have any kids anymore. They're all grown up. So and I have people I know running for school board. Their kids are growing up. And I go, okay, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know why you'd want to keep doing this, but, you know, but I admire them that they want to continue to be involved in it. And, you know, with you and what you guys do over there, and I looked at the board. I mean, you got all these musicians and people involved in it. And they're from all different types of music, which, of course, is exactly what you want to look at because they all have a different look at it. And they're successful, but they also know that it took work to get to where they are, too.
That's right.
I mean, and look where you are. You have a degree in music, you know, and you're still doing it. You're not standing on Broadway singing, but you're still impacting a lot of people, a lot more than you would.
Well, I was impacted so much as in growing up. You know, I was fortunate. I had incredible music teachers, you know, from my middle school band director and choir director to all the way through high school and in my college educators, you know, were just, they were more than just teachers to me. They, and many of them, those of them that are still alive, I keep in contact with.
That's cool.
Because, you know, they were guiding me as a person to find my best self. And, you know, my best self was through music, but I became an entrepreneur. I was a business owner. You know, I did some professional music before I transitioned, but, you know, the thought process that you get involved in music to become a professional music, professional artist, or to become an educator, it is inaccurate. You know, you get involved in music because it spurs and brings out the best of all of us, whether we're talently inclined or not. You don't have to be talented to participate in a music program.
No, in fact, I've talked to people in the business and I said, I'd rather talk to people that are the backup singers or the roadies sometimes, because they're the ones that make it work. It's great to show up, and if you're an A-lister and stand and walk on stage and do 2 hours and walk off and say, see you tomorrow night. Well, I think what you're doing, Beth, is wonderful. And I want to continue to talk with you because I just think it's a great opportunity. And I really didn't understand. I'm glad you explained it to me, that what you're doing instead of, I mean, you obviously want to go to the level of the student, but that's a broader plan. I mean, doing the educator side, I understand that completely. And they have somebody like you that they can count on in the Innovator Award thing. That just drives people to want to do it more, because like you said, I can understand people saying to you, or you get the award and going, what'd you get an award for being the music, you know, was that a local? No, it came out of,
well,
you know.
And you might say Music Education Innovator Award is a mouthful, and it kind of is, but you have to state it for what it is. You know,
it's
not just being an innovator. It's that you're a music education innovator. You know, you are looking for ways to broaden the experience for all the students in your school to benefit from music.
There you go. Love what you're doing, and take care of yourself, and we'll be in touch. Okay.
Sounds good, Rick. Thank you.
Have a good evening. Take care.